welcome to Stronghold Baptist Church. If you can grab your hymnals and open up to song number 31. You should have a hymnal there by your seat somewhere. Hymn number 31, He Lives. Hymn number 31.
In my heart there rings a melody. great singing this morning. It's good to see y'all here with us at Stronghold Baptist Church. This time we're going to go through our announcements. If you do not have a bulletin yet, slip your hand up real high. We'll make sure that you get one. Brother Mike is coming around with the bulletins. And if you open up to the first page, you'll see our service times listed there. As always, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday afternoon again at 4 p.m., and Wednesday night at 7 is our Bible study. We're in Isaiah chapter 26 this week. We have the soul winning opportunities listed there, as well as our salvations and our baptisms through the month of September. We're going to go ahead and count up any soul winning that was done. If anyone led anyone to Christ this week, just slip your hand up real quick. We'll get a count for that. Yesterday. Amen. All right, anyone else? There's one. Anyone else? All right, very good. Keep up the good work. And, you know, speaking of soul winning in general, especially if you're visiting our church or if you're newer to our church, this is what our church ultimately is all about. This is the primary focus for Stronghold Baptist Church. There's a lot of things that are very important, but kind of the driving force is taking the Great Commission that Jesus Christ gave to his disciples before leaving this earth to go out and preach the gospel to every creature, and to make disciples and to baptize people. And that's the whole purpose or function of our church. So everything else that we do should help us to become better at giving the gospel to people and preaching Jesus Christ. So that's what we do. And in fact, today, after the morning service, so we've got a couple of baptisms that we're performing this morning, okay? Here's the way it's all going to work. We've got lunch provided for everybody that's in attendance today. So everybody is welcome to stay. We'd love to have everybody stay for lunch today. But as soon as service ends, we're going to do the baptisms right outside. Okay, that's going to be the first thing that we do. Other people will be helping getting some things set up. We'll get the table set up in here for the food. After the baptisms, say the blessing for the food. We can start eating. And then I'm going to be teaching on soul winning. I'm preaching the gospel. So that's has already been planned for this afternoon. It's one of the reasons why we're providing the lunch, so that everyone can learn and listen, whether you're newer or experienced, you've been here for a long time or not. There's some things I'm going to be going over. I would like the whole church to just kind of be on the same page with and make sure that we understand that we're all in one accord when we go out and we preach the gospel, and that we're, you know, everyone's up to speed on kind of, there's a lot of little details that questions and things that come up, especially for people who are newer and haven't been with our church for a while. And I want to go over a lot of those things to help equip you better. And I don't think we're going to get through everything I want to, because I don't want it to be a really, really, really long ordeal. So we're going to take this in chunks, because I don't want to just overload you with a whole bunch of information. I can remember everything anyway. So we'll be doing these probably once a month. I don't have the exact schedule for this type of thing. But we'll be doing the same format. We'll bring some food in, and we'll go over these things. So I would love to have you stick around after the baptisms. Like I said, everyone's welcome to eat. You don't have to go out and knock doors with us, you know, to get this food. You just hang out here. Maybe you can learn a little bit more. I'm going to try not to preach very long this morning because of all the extra things that we're doing. And then we have a time here at 1:30. Where, as a church, we go out and we knock on doors and we talk to people and give them the gospel of Christ. So especially after hearing a little bit about what it's all about, this is the first one that we're doing today. We'd love to have you come and join us, or at least think about joining us, and see what it's all about for yourself. All right, all of that being said, we'll continue on with our announcements. We've got the offering totals in the bottom of the page there for the month of September. Prayer requests have been updated, I believe, as much as they ought to be. If there's something on here, if you notice there's a prayer request that you'd asked for or you needed, and it's not on this list, just let me know. I think, are we still out of prayer request cards? Does anyone know? Yeah, don't worry about it right now. I think that kind of slipped my mind. I just realized that now. I think we have prayer request cards. I think we're out of them. But just if you have a prayer request, you know, one of the best ways to get that to me is when the offering plate goes around, you could write down your prayer request on a piece of paper, on the bulletin, on the back of the prayer request, whatever, and get that to me, or just talk to me personally. I prefer it in writing because I got a lot going on Sundays, and it's going to help me to be able to make sure that all that information gets transferred into our bulletin for next week. So just let us know. We encourage everyone praying. Bring these home with you every night. We've got a couple ladies that are with child. So Mrs. Carter and Mrs. Taylor are pregnant. Please pray for the pregnancies. Brother Devin's family is in need of a lot of prayers. So continue to pray for his extended family, for his grandparents and his parents. And then also Sister Katie's grandfather is out of the hospital now. He has pneumonia. He's not out yet. He's close. So he's okay. I thought I misunderstood what you told me. Sorry, I was writing while you were talking to me. It was a good report. So it was a really good report that we got on Joseph Brown, that he's doing better. He's recovering really well and expected to leave the hospital today. So that's good news there. Continue to pray for him. Continue to pray for everyone else on this list. Does anyone else have any updates on the people on the list? So pray for Brother Jesse's wife and son. Son is, they're still waiting, right, to be able to get some results, to see a doctor about that abnormal heart rhythm that his wife noticed. And then also they're in South Korea, and you know, with the COVID, everything is changing almost on a weekly basis on what's required and who can travel and go back and forth and everything like that. So let's pray that they'll be able to make it back to the United States without any issues, without any problems, without having to jump through a million hoops, and just be able to get here back home safely. And then churches and pastors, I put Steadfast Baptist Church, Pastor Jonathan Shelley. I'm actually going to be there this week for the Fire-Breathing Baptist Fellowship that is being held there. But if you haven't heard already, for those of you who follow the other churches that are friendly with our church, they had some people commit fraud against the church, claiming to be these directors on the corporation, and actually stole the money out of their bank account, closed their bank account, and opened up new accounts with all of the church money. And I don't understand how people can be so brazen, because it's not like it's Pastor Shelley's money. It's not like it's any individual's money. You know, the money that goes to church is God's money. So, the money that you give when we pass around the offering plate, that's not my money. I don't treat it as my money. I am the administrator of that money because I'm the pastor of the church. But it's God's money. And we use it for things to glorify God, to edify God, to do the operation of church, things like that, right? So they didn't, if they have a beef with somebody, people get upset at different preachers and things like that, don't steal from God. But it is what it is. So we're going to pray for them. It's a big hassle now for them to have to deal with that. It's a big distraction from the work that's going on there. So pray for their church. Pray that everything can get resolved quickly. He's got tons of evidence already supporting, like showing that these people are criminals and that it's not a misunderstanding or anything like that, or that they don't have any, leg to stand on ultimately. So if you want to follow that, you could check out Pastor Shelley's videos he's been putting out there. I talked to him the other day, see how things are going there, and to see if they need anything, because we are, we support the work that they're doing at that church. So we are willing to help out. We send some preachers to help preach at the different church plants that they have, and we appreciate all the work that they're doing. So especially with, they got a conference coming up, and having those accounts, frozen really puts a monkey wrench in the whole situation. But he's handling it great, and everything's going to go off as planned. So just pray for them, pray for the church. They've been under lots of attacks. They're facing all kinds of problems, not even on that front. There's a lot of other things going on, so be in prayer for that church. But that's what happens when you're doing a good work for the Lord, and you're actually getting a lot of things done, a lot of things accomplished. You can expect that level of attacks. So be in prayer for them. On the next page here, October challenge. We had just started the month of October, and the challenge for this month is to add 1 hour soul winning per week to your normal routine. So whatever you normally do, if it's 0 hours, if you're not used to going out and preaching the gospel, then go out for an hour. Make it a point. And this is 1 hour per week, so it's only 4 weeks. Obviously, there's an odd number of days. It's a little bit more than 4 weeks in a month. But we're starting from Sunday to Sunday every full week in October. is add 1 hour of time that you don't normally sow in. You go out and preach the gospel. So like I said, if you never go, then come out with us on Sundays. Come out with us on any of the times that we have scheduled, and you'll easily get an hour in. If you go for a couple hours a week or whatever your normal routine is, just add more. The whole point is to try to push yourself to do a little bit more. It's the point of these challenges. So we're starting off the month. You got a fresh start to a new challenge. Hopefully we get a lot of people participating with this. Upcoming events, of course, we got the workshop today with lunch provided, everything like that. We already went over that. And the fellowship this week, later in the week. You should be able to check that out online. Soul Winning Marathon in Athens, Georgia is on the 23rd. And then the Chili Cook-Off is on the 31st, which is a Sunday. I'll give you a little bit more details probably next week on the actual time and when we're going to do that, because I haven't decided if it's going to be in between services or after the evening service. Probably in between services. Leslie, did you have something? Thank you. Yes. Yes. So when we do these marathons, the Soul Winning Marathon is an all-day event. So we go out Saturday from morning until evening, and we make a whole day out of it. And obviously, people could come and go as you please, whatever time you have. But we also have a lot of people who travel long distances to come to church. So when we do events like that on a Saturday, and then we have church on Sunday, anyone that travels long distances, if you want to attend that event and come to church the next day, we'll put you up in a hotel close by the church, so that way you don't have to do all that driving back and forth, and you're able to participate in the event longer maybe than you normally would. So we offer that every time that we do these events, but I just want to make sure that everybody understands that that is available again for this the Athens Soul Winning Marathon on October 23rd. Gingerbread house making. It's going to be a lot of fun. You got a whole bunch of them in the storage room right now. Just make sure that you sign up for that event. It's not just for kids, adults, anyone who wants to do this. We'd love to have you come, and it's a lot of fun. Sometimes I think adults have more fun than the kids do. Kids just like eating the candy. Adults like making the houses. So either way, come on out. We'll have some hot chocolate and some treats and things like that, and it's a lot of fun on a Saturday, December 4th. And all the rest of the announcements you can see there, I'm kind of getting over time here. It's the last week for Colossians 3, first 11 verses. If you haven't memorized this yet, you can do it this week. It's not that difficult. I think you can get this done in a week, but hopefully you've been working on it already. And by next week at midnight is the deadline to be able to quote this word perfect. If you're able to do that, you will get a prize for doing that. And then the upcoming birthdays and anniversaries. Listen, there's all birthdays this month. And then at the bottom of the page is our homeschool field trip schedule. Bring your own lunch, tell a science museum, October 15th. Is it too late, Leslie, for anyone new to sign up for that? Today is the last day. So if you have not already signed up for the Tell a Science Museum homeschool field trip, today is the last day to do so, because there's paperwork that needs to be filled out in advance and sent back to them. So she's sending back that paperwork tomorrow for that event. So just make sure that if you were planning on coming to that and you didn't let us know yet, that you speak to my wife today. It's going to be the best thing that you can do. And then that is about it for our announcement. So we're going to have Brother Peter come up, and he's going to lead us in our next song.
All right, church, if you can open up your hymnals, the song number 221. Song number 221, A Child of the King. Song 221. On the first, my father is rich in houses and lands. He holding the wealth of the world in his hands. Of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold, his coffers are full. He has riches untold. the offering plate is being passed around, if you can open up your Bibles, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We do customary here at Stronghold Baptist Church. We're going to read the entire chapter. I'm going to ask Brother Carter if he can please do that for us.
Once again, as 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much named among the Gentiles, that one shall have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or a covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such an one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your word this morning, and ask, Father, as it comes forth, Lord, that it will come forth with boldness and power. Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit to be upon Pastor, and ask, Lord, that we would be diligent to take heed to these matters and be doers of your word, Lord God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.
All right, so this morning I'm going to be preaching on the subject of Halloween. Now, obviously, the Bible doesn't say anything directly about Halloween. It's a newer thing. It's not something that is just referenced by name. So in order to teach on this, we obviously need to derive some principles and kind of use some understanding when it comes to what the Word of God is teaching. And I'm going to ask you also, you know, if you are here this morning and you're of the opinion that I don't think there's anything wrong with it, I think it's just fine, I don't think it's that big of a deal, that you listen to what the scripture says. You know, obviously, we're all free to make our own decisions. If you walk away and you're not convinced, you know, it is what it is. And you know, the way that our church operates, especially for those of you who are newer here, you know, we don't have rules. You know, it's not like we have a rule here that you cannot celebrate Halloween or else you're going to hell. Okay? Or even without that, or else you're going to hell part. I mean, you just say, you can't celebrate Halloween. Now, everyone's free to do with everything that's taught in Scripture, essentially. Obviously, we started in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. There's limits to this. Okay, there's limits to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 gives us some reasons that people ought to be kicked out of church and completely disfellowshipped. And we just read the passage, so if you didn't get that, it's right near the end of the passage. It lists specific sins. You know, we know we're all sinners. But these specific sins are more grievous. They're worse sins than others. And they're things that if people are doing these things, you ought not even to go out to eat with them. And it's not just people in general. The Bible is very clear here. It says, but if any man is called a brother, right? So someone who's saved, someone who should know better, they're called a brother, they're going to church, they're hearing the word of God. You know it's not right to be, you know, living in fornication. Now, like I said, we're all sinners, but not everybody's just out living in fornication. We know we're all sinners, but not everyone's a drunkard, okay? We're all sinners, but not everyone is an extortioner. So these things, the Bible is clearly listing here, saying, look, if someone's guilty of these things, like, you need to put them away from you, and the whole point is that they would be ashamed. Because there's some things that if you're wrapped up in as a Christian, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. And the whole point then is restoration. It's not like these people are just kicked out forever. The point is they could see, wow, I didn't realize how bad what I'm doing is. It's to the point to where my brothers and sisters won't even go out to lunch with me. Maybe I ought to do some self-evaluation here and see what's going on and take stock. And hopefully the point is to realize, man, I need to get right. I need to get right with God. And then the repentance comes, and then, great, come back in the church. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons. I don't want to teach all on that because that's not what the subject matter is for this sermon. But the point I'm trying to make with this is we need to see what Scripture says and be able to apply the principles of Scripture to something like Halloween. Now, for some people, Halloween is just all about dressing up in a costume and getting free candy. Right? I mean, that's how it was for me growing up, and I know it's probably the way it is for a lot of people. And you could say, well, Pastor Bersons, what's wrong with that? In and of itself, now we could talk about the different types of costumes that you could choose to wear. There's definitely some biblical principles on that. For example, you know, when I was younger, everyone thought it was funny when men would dress up as women for Halloween. And I even did that when I was a kid, when I went to school. It was, you know, me and some friends put on wigs, put on dresses. The problem is that that's abominable in God's eyes. And the Bible very clearly says that a man is not to wear that which pertains to a woman, neither shall a woman put on a man's garment. For all that do show are abomination unto the Lord. So that is something that very, very, very clearly we should not be doing. And you know, it doesn't matter to God if you're doing something that completely breaks his laws and say, oh, but it's just a joke. I mean, if you tell your kids not to do something and, you know, they just go and do it, say, oh, but it's just a joke. Making things a joke doesn't make things okay. And the Bible says that fools make a mock at sin. So be aware of that, and you can kind of get the direction this is going. Now, I also want to just state this. I don't think there's any doubt on the subject that I'm going to be teaching on this morning about Halloween being a wicked holiday that no Christian has any business celebrating. Okay? But, you know, again, you decide for yourself, but I'm not coming at this, even though I say, hey, you know, we're all free, you make up your own mind, you do your own thing, I don't think there's any doubt about this. If I did, I wouldn't be preaching a whole sermon about it. But I just ask you to consider what's being taught and don't just turn off and shut down and be like, I don't want to hear anything about this, right? Because maybe you're wrong. Now, like I said, some people dressing up in costume, getting free candy, you know, what could be wrong with that? In and of itself, if you're just getting free candy and you dress up in a costume, my kids dress up in costumes, they dress up as different things, whatever, we buy little costume sets for them. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like I said, there's exceptions if you're doing things that just clearly against Scripture, but in general, there's nothing just again wrong with dressing up in a costume. And getting candy from people, there's nothing wrong with getting candy from people either, right, in general. But the problem is with the day itself. And when you think about, you know, how is Halloween represented? Because you say, oh, well, to me, it's just costume and free candy. But you know what? It's more than that. And if you want to use that as your excuse to just justify what you're doing, you are actively participating in a day that is known. And just let's just think about it, right? If you were to go out to a store that's marketing for Halloween, how is Halloween marketed? What is put up? What do people decorate their houses with? Ghosts, demons, witches, right? Black cats. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with black cats, right? Spider webs, evil things, right? Isn't there a focus on, how about haunted houses? The TV companies will start broadcasting all the horror movies, things designed to instill fear, things that have to do with just devilish things. I'm not making this up. You know and I know very well. All of these things are symbolic of Halloween. That is what the day is about. And I'm not one of these people who thinks, oh, you can't celebrate Christmas because Christmas is pagan and everything else. Look, if Christmas is just about a man in a red suit to you and it's just about, you know, getting gifts, then you've got the wrong concept of Christmas. But see, Christmas is about Jesus Christ. And it is wrong if that's all you do is just focus on that and don't you're not actually celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, then there is a problem with that. But I'm not even going back to all the, I did this already in a previous sermon where I kind of went back on the history of Halloween, but that's not solely what makes it wrong. I mean, you could just look at the event today and say, is this something that I should be in fellowship with, that I should be walking with, that I should be in concord with, that I should be, you know, as a Christian, as a believer, the Bible, that for one day out of the year, I'm okay with cross-dressing. For one day out of the year, I'm okay with witches and witchcraft, which, by the way, the Bible says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. That's God's law. Okay, you can say, but we're not under God's law anymore. Well, look, how do you think God feels about that, even though that law may not be in place in the United States of America today? You think that, you know, oh, well, back then, God was so angry with that sin that he wanted people being put to death, but today it's really not a big deal at all. He doesn't care. Like, does God just change his mind about things like that? I mean, it's the same thing with sodomy. It's the same thing with adultery. It's the same thing with kidnapping and all the other capital crimes. God doesn't just think, well, it's not a big deal today. Well, it's just cultural. That's not how God operates. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay? God, you know, the Bible says, I am the Lord, you know, I change not. God's word doesn't change. That's why we use the old Bible. It doesn't change. People try to change it. The devil tries to change the word of God. But God's word, he wrote his word in stone. So that can't be changed, right? I mean, that's the whole point. It's written in stone. It's where people have that expression, well, is it, that's not written in stone. Well, you know what? God's word is written in stone. It's meant to last. But even the basics of Halloween, you know, think about this. What do people do on Halloween? They go trick-or-treating. What does it mean to go trick-or-treating? What does that even, you know, people don't even think about the things, saying, hey, we're going to go trick-or-treating. And you're not even thinking about what you're saying and what does the actual mean. Now, you may not be doing this, and I understand that. But you're involved in something so much, I want you to think about it. And say, is this something that's righteous? Is God going to be happy with me saying, I'm going to go out trick-or-treating? And look, I know people aren't thinking or meaning that they're going to threaten somebody. Like, if you don't give me candy, then there's a threat. But that's what the word trick-or-treat means. You go to someone's door, you're giving them two choices. A trick or a treat. I mean, that's where the phrase comes from. It's like, if you don't give me a treat, then I'm going to play a trick on you. And the trick isn't going to be something pleasant. Now, again, I'm not saying that you're going out with that intention. I didn't go out with that intention when I was a kid. Most people don't. Okay, so I'm not just ridiculous into thinking that, like, oh, well, everyone's going to. But everything has a meaning to it. And this is the meaning behind trick-or-treating, which has just become commonly accepted. And the reason we started off in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 is because that list of sins that could get people kicked out of church, one of the things that's on that list is extortioners. Okay, now, again, Don't take this wrong. I'm not saying if you go out trick-or-treating that you're going to be kicked out of church. Okay, that's not what I'm saying at all. That's not what I'm saying at all. Just to be clear, my point in highlighting this is to highlight the seriousness or the gravity of extortion itself, of threatening people for, you know, to get something that you want, because that's what extortion is. And even if it's just silly or you know, not sincerely, but saying we're going to go and trick or treating, there's an implication there of threat. I know you're not actually literally doing that, but why associate yourself with doing something like that? Again, and this is just the first part of the sermon. Like, that's not what everything is just based on. That's why you shouldn't celebrate Halloween. Okay, we're just getting started. So we'll just reread verse number 9 through 11 there. The Bible says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. And what he's saying here is, look, we expect the world to have a particular behavior. The world in general is full of sinners of all degrees. I mean, there's people, the world today thinks that fornication is just fine. There are men and women living together, and they think that's just fine. And on all the media, the movies, the TV, anything, people live in fornication, the world has no problem with that today at all. And that's not the way it used to be, but it is today. Even adultery is really minimized as being that big of a deal in today's culture. I mean, how many marriages are ending in divorce, and how many of those divorces are a result of infidelity? And it's just become accepted. It's, oh, I just had an affair, and, it, you know, well, we'll just get a divorce, we'll do this. It's becoming way too commonplace, and it's being accepted. We expect that in the world. We expect that in the world. And what the Bible's saying here is, look, if you had to withdraw yourself from everybody who was guilty of some of these sins, then you just have to, like, isolate yourself from the world. Because these things are rampant in the world. But he's making a difference between the church of God and the world. Look, the world celebrates Halloween. The world doesn't have any problem with Halloween. The world blasts it and posts it and decorates and does all this stuff. But there ought to be a difference between what the world does and what the world celebrates and what the children of God do and what they celebrate. There ought to be a difference. God has called us out to be a peculiar people, someone who are separate and different from the world. That's why he says in verse 11, he says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat. Don't even have a meal with them. There's a difference between the people of God and the rest of the world. There ought to be a difference. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. I don't even like calling Halloween a holiday, because the word holiday is an abbreviation of the word holy day. It's just brought together. It's just, in our modern vernacular, it's come from the word holy day. We have holy days like Christmas, like Easter, you know, holy days that have to do, that we set apart mostly for the things of God. I think those are great. And you know what? I also don't have a problem with other days that are set apart, like Memorial Day or late, like, I don't have a problem with just as a culture doing that. Memorial, remembering people who have fought and died for a, you know, for a country, whatever. That's not a sin. There's nothing wrong with that. Observing things like that, observing Independence Day, you know, nothing wrong with that. But you know what? There is the one day out of the year that I do have a problem with, and that's Halloween. And even calling it should be it's an unholy day. It's not a holy day. And it's a day that's signified by darkness rather than light. As I mentioned before, you know, I have some things written down here, but, you know, what is symbolized by Halloween? Witches, ghosts, demons, haunted houses, just evil things. And a lot of it is just a promotion of fear. And I understand that there's this adrenaline rush when people get afraid. And that's turned into something that's kind of used, well, I call it a drug, but it's used in a way to entice people into pushing fear. But we ought not to be celebrating fear or being involved with anything that's fear, because the Bible instructs us actually not to fear anything in this world. That the only thing that we're supposed to fear is the fear of the Lord. And Halloween is not teaching fear of the Lord, because it's brazenly teaching things against the Bible. But Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse number 5. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Don't just think, "Oh, well, I don't see it as that big of a deal." Look, don't lean on your own understanding. We need to be looking to the Word of God, which is verse 6 says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him." Doesn't say in some of thy ways, in most of your ways. In all your ways acknowledge him. How are you acknowledging Christ on Halloween? It says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord," look at this, "and depart from evil." Evil. Evil things. Evil things are put out on Halloween. Evil, like decapitated bodies and limbs and body parts, like evil being done against other people, right? The serial killer movies and the you know, the Freddies and Jasons and Michael Myers, you know, all these popular movies, which I think they still keep making new ones of. I don't know. I haven't watched anything like that in a long time. They're probably on like number 32 of Nightmare on Elm Street or whatever, because they just can't stop with that stuff. But it's, you know, depart from evil. We shouldn't be glorifying evil. Turn to Proverbs chapter 8, just a few pages over. Proverbs chapter 8. Verse 13, Bible reads, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." We ought not to be embracing evil. We ought to be hating the evil. And evil is doing harm on other people. It's violating people and doing things that, you know, ought not to be done to other people. But, I mean, if you're honest with yourself, that's part of what Halloween is about. It's a glorification of this stuff. To instill fear in you. Revelation, you could turn, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 10. You know, a common verse that we use when we go out and preach the gospel is Revelation 21:8. And the reason why we use Revelation 21:8 is just to demonstrate to people, one, you know, we show people that everyone's a sinner. But then we demonstrate, you know, that the punishment for sin is actually hell. There's a hell payment on our sin. And many people in the world, and you know, myself included, many people before you get saved, before I was saved, you have a tendency to think that even though you know you're a sinner, you know you've done wrong, you have a tendency to think that, well, my sin isn't really that big of a deal, right? Like, I'm not that bad of a guy. I'm not out murdering people and raping people, you know, like, because that's really bad. And it is really bad. But when you understand that even though you may not be that bad of a guy or lady, your sin is still worthy of a punishment in hell according to God. So we turn to Revelation 21:8 to demonstrate that. And usually what we focus on, because it gives a whole list of sins, and then it says, "And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth fire and brimstone," which is the second death. So we say, hey, look, I think everyone's told a lie before, right? No one's innocent of that. So we demonstrate, look, we're all liars, we're all guilty, we all deserve this punishment of hell. So people understand, if I'm guilty of this punishment, well, I need someone to save me, right? And then we turn to pointing them to the Savior once they understand the condition as an unsaved person that they deserve hell. But what I want to point out about this is that the very first thing that's listed in that list of sins in Revelation 21:8, the Bible says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars." The fearful. Fearful is a sin. Just being fearful is a sin, and it's included in this list of people who have a part in hell. Why do we want to exalt this concept of putting people into fear? I mean, just let that sink in. If you love the Lord, you love the Word of God, you actually treat these things seriously, oh, it's just a big joke. The fearful shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I don't think we should be going around and participating in and promoting fear. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 10 instructs us, we're going to start reading verse number 2, that we're not supposed to learn the way of the heathen. Right? Like I said before, this is what the world does. The world has no problem with this. But why should Christians be doing what the world does in everything that they do? Now, not everything the world does. I mean, if the world celebrates, you know, the birth of our Savior, great. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know how the world celebrates it. It's like I said before, it's Santa Claus, it's commercialism, it's everything else. That's how the world celebrates Christmas. It's not how believers should celebrate Christmas. The thing that the world do is not of the Father. But Jeremiah 2, 10, chapter 10, verse number 2, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. And again, he's saying, don't worry about these other, you know, oh man, this planet's lining up here, and all the astrology and everything else. The heathen practice that stuff. Don't let that scare you. That's what he says, don't be dismayed at that. The heathen's dismayed at that. You ought not to be dismayed. Don't learn their ways. Don't be looking to the stars going, oh man, look, this is going to happen. This something's bad going to happen. Verse 3 says, for the customs of the people are vain. They're meaningless. They're empty. They don't have any substance to them. They're vain. For one cutteth the tree out of the forest, the work of hands, the workmen with the axe. And then it goes on and on describing how they create their own idols. And they're into idolatry. And they make their own gods and everything else. And that's what the world does. They make up their own image of God. But the principle here is not to learn the way of the heathen. Don't do what they do. Don't just do everything that the world does. We're supposed to be separate from this world. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. Turn, if you would, to Mark chapter number 5. Now, in the book of Mark, we have a lot of cool stories. This is actually the most stories about people who are possessed with devils is found in the book of Mark. But the way that the Bible records this and the way that the Bible teaches this is in truth, but there's nothing cool about the person being possessed with a devil. And by the way, this is real. Like, this isn't just a Hollywood movie. This isn't just a script. This isn't just out of someone's imagination. Devils are real. Angels are real. God is real. Satan is real. Okay, these are all things that the Bible clearly teaches, that we believe in, that we know are real, even though you can't see them. Devil possession is real. Now, we have an example of a guy here who is possessed with many devils. And it's interesting where his habitation is. Where does he live? Where does he stay? It's in the very place that's promoted by Halloween to be scary, right? Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. This is the picture of someone who's possessed with devils. He's out in the graveyard. He's out in the cemetery. He's cutting himself, and no one can bind him. And these are the things that are glorified at Halloween. This man is glorified on Halloween. And this is what the haunted houses are about, to get you to go through there and to be scared by this. Now, It's not like you're the world's trying to reenact what's happening in Mark chapter 5, because Jesus doesn't show up at the haunted house and cast out the devil and then get the guy saved and he ends up, you know, wanting to follow Jesus. That doesn't happen. It's all about just putting you into fear about things and people like this. And you know what? We're not supposed to fear these things. Even someone being possessed with devils, we're not supposed to fear that. We're not supposed to fear the power of Satan. We're supposed to have faith in our Lord that he's able to protect us and he's able to defend us, and that we still need to continue to do what's right, even though we may be opposed by demonic forces like this, and not train ourselves and teach ourselves into getting scared by these things. Now, they may be horrific, but we are not to be scared by these things. And we shouldn't be going indulging and trying to make ourselves scared of these things either. Like I said, you're kind of teaching yourself to do that. And as these things are real, you may not encounter this every day or, you know, on any regular basis whatsoever, but this is out there. There are people who are possessed with devils today, just as there was back then, except now they call them more mental illnesses, even though they're still, I mean, you know, you see the crazy homeless people out there sometimes that are just, I mean, talking to themselves and everything else. That's a sign of people being possessed with devils. Okay. There's nothing new under the sun. And science, you know, the world may want to call it something different because, you know, they're always trying to get you to not believe that the Word of God is true. But the Word of God is true. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to close on Ephesians 5. And this isn't meant to be an exhaustive sermon either on Halloween. I preach on this subject many times in the past, and I just wanted to kind of cover a few points. And also, I don't want to go too long this morning because we have so many other things going on today. But I'm going to read for you from Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 36. You can look this up later if you want. Proverbs 8, 36. The Bible says, "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." Now, in the context, Proverbs 8 is personifying wisdom. It's personifying wisdom. So, in that sense here, it says, "All they that hate me love death." It's talking about hating wisdom. But there's a lot of people who get really into the Halloween thing and really into the gothic thing and really into the death culture. And that's real. There's people out there who just love death, but you know what the Bible says? They hate wisdom. We need to show some wisdom when it comes to analyzing the things that we do every day of our life or on specific days of our life and the customs that we keep and the traditions that we keep and challenge those things and say, does this line up with the Bible? We all have traditions. We have family traditions. We have, you know, celebratory traditions, all kinds of different things. And I'm not saying they're all bad because there's plenty of traditions that are just benign. It's not, there's nothing wrong with them. I mentioned that earlier. But you need to be able to challenge them with the willingness of saying, am I glorifying God? Is what I'm doing right by the Lord? And if it's not, then you need to ditch your tradition. And who cares how long you've been doing it for? Right. Who cares how long people have been celebrating Hallow's Eve or Halloween or whatever you want to call it? Who cares how long it's been done for? The question is it right? Is it right? And I'm closing with Ephesians chapter 5, and hopefully you can see how we're called to walk in light, not darkness. And if you take just a sincere, objective look at Halloween, it is a day of darkness. It has historically been a day of darkness. It's a day of darkness today. It is not meant in any way, shape, or form to be celebrated in a way that is conducive with the Bible. And, you know, I didn't mention this before. We're talking about costumes. I mentioned the fact that, you know, witches, according to God, should be put to death. The same would go for wizards. And, you know, your child may not be dressing up like a serial killer or something like that, but a lot of them are dressing up like, you know, the Harry Potters and the whatever is famous out there and all this magic stuff these magicians and wizards and things like that. That's not right. We shouldn't be dressing up and looking and imitating like someone who God says is worthy of the death penalty. Because of what they're doing, because you're identifying as that which God says, you know, they ought to be put to death. I mean, it's like, would you want your child to be dressing up, and I don't know how you do this, but be dressing up as like a serial rapist? Now, if you don't see a problem with that, I don't know what else to, I kind of don't even know where to start. If you don't see a problem with that. But if you do see a problem with that, understand that just as God put a death penalty on someone, a man who would force a woman, in the scripture, that's a death penalty. Yeah. Amen. That's not a slap on the wrist. That's a big deal. That's a serious crime. And just as that's a serious crime, so is witchcraft. So is witchcraft. It is. It's on the same level. In God's judgment, we ought to not just give one a pass and be hard against the other. No, we need to have God's view on all these sins. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to close with this. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You know, all these commands in Scripture, this isn't saying, be therefore followers of God on Sunday, on one day of the week, right? When you show up and other people can see you. The Bible never teaches that. All of the admonitions and teachings in Scripture is for every day of your life, which also means, oh, well, you can exclude these things on one day of the year. This is supposed to be how we live every day, in sincerity, in honesty, every single day. Whether in public or behind closed doors, we ought to be living our lives according to this book. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. There is a call to holiness. Just in general. I mean, saying all these different things, listen up here. Don't even let that be named among you. That ought not to be who you are. That ought not to be something that you're guilty of as a saint. Verse 4, he's going to continue on. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. He's saying, don't let anyone deceive you into thinking that these things really aren't that bad. Because it's for these very things that the wrath of God comes on these people. That's why God's wrath is on them, and we shouldn't just be blowing it off and putting it aside and participating in and fellowshipping with the things that God is wrathful about and is bringing his wrath upon. If you take a step back and look at all the things that's promoted by Halloween and think how many of those things are worthy of God's wrath, consider that. Don't let people deceive you with vain words. Verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Hey, if God's wrath is coming on these things, and don't be a partaker with that. Don't partake in those sins. And even, you know, the Bible says to abstain from all appearance of sin. Say, but I'm not doing that. I'm not celebrating and glorifying fear. But you're going around and walking around and participating with everybody else who is. That's the appearance of sin. Verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light every day of your life. Walk as a child of light, not of darkness, not in the darkness. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. This is what I'm trying to do this morning. Let's prove what's acceptable unto God. You make that decision for yourself. I've already made that decision for myself, you know, and I don't think that my kids are really missing out on anything. I've been there, done that, you know, whatever. They don't need to be participating in those things. And honestly, this is also why we provide a separate event with the chili cook-off every year on October 31st. It's an opportunity to get you kind of out of the whole environment and out of the world for a day or for a moment when all of that is going on, to be able to just enjoy some good, wholesome fellowship with other believers. You know, we're going to eat some good chili, and we're going to do this. It's not a costume thing, so don't come, you know, dressed up. You might feel awkward, because if you do, you'll probably be the only one. It's not a Halloween party, okay? It's not. It's an alternative, and we provide alternatives for many things. That's why we also bring in the New Year together. So we could bring the New Year together as a church, because these are times where oftentimes, you know, a lot of people maybe invited to go to the parties, there's going to be a lot of booze and drunkenness and other things going on. You know what? We're giving you an alternative to be able to come here and be with church. And you know, honestly, some people are weaker in their flesh than others. They might have a harder time saying no or not wanting to go and be part of some of those other things. So we're going to give you that alternative to come here and be in God's house so we can help strengthen you. Not just that, just enjoy being together and having a good fellowship. I mean, we have a lot of fun with all these events, and you know, hopefully you can come out and join us for one of these events as well. But let's finish off Ephesians 5 here. Look at verse 11. The Bible says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So instead of having fellowship with the unrighteous works of darkness, like the dark day of Halloween, we need to reprove that and say, no, that's wrong. No, that you shouldn't be doing that. That's not something for God's people to be participating in. We shouldn't be glorifying fear. We shouldn't be glorifying the darkness and the devils and the things that are going to put you into fear. We shouldn't be doing that. We should be separate and reproving them because it's wrong. Verse 12 says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. We ought to, if you're a child of light because you're saved today, you got the Holy Spirit residing inside of you, don't drag the Holy Spirit around with you door to door and participating in the darkness of the world, where the world exemplifies how dark it really is. And, you know, if you're not convinced by this, you do what you want to do. And I'm not going to judge you for whatever you decide to do. I mean, that's on you. I said my piece. I believe that I'm right as far as applying Scripture and using wisdom to apply Scripture in our life. And I don't like going overboard with everything and just trying to be like super hyper spiritual about everything that's out in the world. But we do need to be vigilant and serious about the things that we do, okay? And sometimes it's going to mean stopping certain activities because there's no way to justify them in the eyes of God. And we ought to be more concerned about how God thinks about us than how anyone else thinks about us. I don't care about how any of my coworkers at my day job think about me when I say that we don't celebrate Halloween. I don't think about how anyone thinks about me. I don't care about how you think about me if I'm up here preaching and saying, you know what, this is wrong according to Scripture, and you say, man, Pastor Berzin's Jesus off his rocker, he's crazy. I don't care, because I have one person I'm trying to please, and that's the Lord. That's what I care about. Hopefully you care about that too. And again, it doesn't mean that if you don't agree with me on every single thing I say, you're not, you know, somehow you're not right with God, but I think this is provable beyond a shadow of a doubt. And let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Pray that you would please bless our church. I pray that you please help us all to grow in our wisdom and our understanding, Lord. Help us to be always mindful that we're living righteously, that we're doing right by you every day of our life, that it's not just a show, that it's not something that's just put on one day, but that we could be thinking about how you would have us to live every single day. Lord, I pray that you would please help us to not be hypocrites in our judgment, and that, you know, if we're going to stand up for something and say that we believe something, and we ought to actually follow through with that in our actions, Lord, and not give any occasion for the adversary, for the enemies, to speak reproachfully against us because we're not following what we claim to believe. God, give us the strength and the courage and the wisdom to do what's right. Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to sing one last song before we're dismissed. I'm going to ask for some of the men to help with reorganizing the chairs and getting the table set up for lunch. We should be pretty close to, we should be set up already for the baptism. It's going to be taking place right outside the front door as we normally do. I'll speak with those who are getting baptized, and just as soon as the service is over, we'll get you in your garments and we'll do the baptisms, say the blessing for the food. And then while everyone's eating, I'll be doing some teaching on this. I'll give you all a chance to get started eating, and then I'll start doing some of the teaching in the auditorium where we're all going to be sitting down eating anyways at the Soul Winning Workshop. And everyone's welcome to stick around as long as you'd like. And even if you don't want to listen to my instruction on soul winning thing, that's fine. You could eat. You could leave whenever you want. We're happy that you're here. All right, Brother Peter, come on up and lead us in our last song.
All right, church, if you can open up your hymnals to song number 264. Song number 264, Once for All. And 264. My church is singing this out with all our hearts on the first. Free from the law, oh, happy condition. Jesus had a plan, his mission. First by the law and bruised by the fall. Grace had redeemed us once for all. Once for all, oh, sinner, receive it. Once for all, oh, brother, believe it. Lead to the cross, the burden to fall. Christ has redeemed us once for all. Now we'll be free, there's no condemnation. Jesus provides a perfect salvation. Come to me, oh, here is the call. Come and he saves us once for all. Once for all, oh, sinner, receive it. Once for all, oh, brother, believe it. Into the cross, the burden will fall. Christ has redeemed us once for all. Children of God,
singing. Thank you so much for coming. Feel free to stick around and have lunch. Dismissed.